Your Bibles with me, if you would, today to the book of Romans, chapter number 6. We do appreciate the opportunity to be here today, the invitation to preach, the song that was just offered by my wife and family. It's one of my favorites. That song, Unworthy, is certainly how I feel every day, but even more so when you stand in the pulpit and preach the Word of God. And so we covet your prayers today as we open the Word of God, and we'll read from Romans chapter 6 in just a moment. We'd like to just take a minute to invite you to our Bible conference at the end of June, the 23rd, 24th, and 25th. We certainly would love to have you come Thursday night through Saturday morning. If you need anything as far as directions or anything of that nature, get a hold of us, and we certainly will help you in that way. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 11. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield yourselves members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You know, for any child of God that's been saved for any length of time, we all are very well acquainted with the direction that sin will take us. We all know very well by experience, we all know very well by doctrine and revelation from God, that the path of sin always takes us away from God. I believe it was Brother Keller yesterday that preached about the will of man and how that we're enslaved to that will before salvation, that enslavement to sin always taking us in the opposite direction of God. But these verses here tell us that now that we're saved by the grace of God, we are dead to sin, and we now have the choice, we now have the ability to yield ourselves as instruments to righteousness. That means that now for the child of God, sin is always a choice. We're no longer a slave to sin. We're no longer a slave to doing those things that are against the will of God, against the Word of God. We have to understand today that God still hates sin. God hated sin in the Garden of Eden when Adam took of that fruit. God hated sin at the Tower of Babel when he confounded the languages. God hated sin in Noah's day as he began to judge the earth and was going to destroy it. He hated sin in Israel when his people went away from him. He hated sin, even in the New Testament, as we know. And you know what? Today, he still hates sin in our lives. He hates sin today in the lives that you and I live. And I just want to present a thought to you here this morning about where sin will take us. And I talked to Brother Kelly yesterday, and I asked him if it was all right if I said stupid. And he said it was all right. So you know I got permission from him. But I want you to think about the stupid things that sin causes us to do, and the dumb decisions that it leads us to make. When we think about the course of our lives, when we think about the things that we have done, we think about the choices we have made, if we are all honest with ourselves, we will say that sin has led us to do some pretty dumb things. We have allowed it to get control of us, and we have to understand that the blame lies within us. This passage tells us that I am able to yield myself as an instrument of righteousness. In every member, every faculty of my being, I am able to serve the Lord with. And when I don't follow that path, when I don't yield myself as an instrument of righteousness, I'm choosing to sin. I'm choosing to do that which is against the will of God. And so many times I look back over my life, and you don't have to look at someone else's life to see it. You look at your own. And I think, and I look back, and I say, what was I thinking? You know, what was I doing? I knew better than that. It's just like your children, when they do something that's a little bit suspect, you look at them, you say, you know better than that. But they're not thinking. They're not in their right mind, so to speak, and neither are we when we allow sin to take control of us, having been freed from the chains of sin. We find, if we look back over our lives, sin has taken us to some silly places. It's caused us to make some bad decisions, and it has led us to do some crazy things. But it has never, ever led us to do anything pleasing to God. Sin never brings about anything that is good in the eyes of God. Sin never brings us closer to God, no matter what people want to tell you. And they will tell you that it will. There are times in our lives when we can be as strong as we can possibly be, when our faith can be as strong as it has ever been, and we will follow the Lord to the ends of the earth, submitting, sacrificing, doing those things which He would require of us. And there are sometimes we don't look like that person at all. There are sometimes when we look like their evil twin, so to speak, because the power of God is gone from our lives, it seems. We don't even resemble the same person, making one bad decision after another, continually going away from God. That's what sin will do to us today. It makes us act sort of dumb or stupid, if you will, never bringing us closer to God. Turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want you to see an example with me here this morning from the life of David. We all know here in 1 Samuel chapter 17 the wonderful example of David's faith that he exhibited as he stands here before Goliath. We find here in 1 Samuel chapter 17 in verse number 36, I want you to see a statement made by David. He is telling Saul that he can handle this. He's telling Saul he can do it. And he says here in verse 36, this is why that I can do it. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse number 36. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. What faith David had. I don't know if we fully appreciate the amount of faith it took for David to stand against the giant. We find he had no experience. He was a young man at this time. And yet he stood where all of the other soldiers were paralyzed with fear. Look down to verse number 45. This is David speaking to Goliath. It says, then said David to the Philistine, thou camest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and of the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give it unto your hands. Isn't it wonderful when we have this kind of faith? When we face a giant and we are able to stand toe-to-toe with a giant and say, God is going to deliver me from this time. I'm not afraid. Because I know my safety, my protection, my provision, all lies in the hand of the Lord. David says here in verse 47 that the Lord saveth not with sword and with spear. The Bible makes a strong point of telling us that David went without a sword in his hand. He didn't go with that for protection or for provision. He was simply relying upon God for the victory. We know the rest of the story here. God grants to him a great victory, his faith leading the way and the giant falling. And we too can be victorious like David. We too can think back to times in our lives when we have been victorious like David. When we have seen Christ standing in the midst of our lives and we have trusted in Him. And we have had faith that He would deliver us, and He has. What a great example David here is of this faith. I want you to turn over just a few chapters. And I want you to read with me here in 1 Samuel chapter 21. After David slays the giant, he experiences great notoriety in Israel. He rises to somewhat of a fame. He continues to go out and fight for Saul. Gets to the place where Saul is so enraged and so envious of David that he desires to kill him. We find in chapter 18, chapter 19, those things unfold, and then he goes on the run. We find him here on the run from Saul. And actually, back up to chapter 20, if you would, first, and read verse number 3. Here is the same man that stood toe-to-toe with the giant stood toe-to-toe with Goliath, not having a sword or shield or spear in his hand, telling him that he was going to die because God would deliver it. Here, David talking to Jonathan as he began to run from Saul in verse 3. And David sware moreover and said, "Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes." And he said, "Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." David's faith was shaken a little bit here. I think this stems back to even the previous chapter when he had went unto Samuel, and then he fled from the presence of God's man. We find that instead of relying upon God now for his protection and for his provision, he begins to rely on himself. And this man that was able to stand toe-to-toe with Goliath, rebuking Goliath, ultimately killing Goliath, taking off his head with his own sword, is now afraid of Saul. Saul was no comparison to Goliath, though Saul was an imposing figure. God had delivered him, but yet now David is afraid. Now David is fearful of Saul and his men, thinking that he is going to die at any minute. There's but a step between him and death. Where is that faith? Where is that reliance on God? He had seen how that God had delivered him from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. That gave him faith to trust God to go and fight Goliath. But now, after that great victory of faith, after that wonderful example of God's provision and God's giving him the victory, where is that faith now? That faith has begun to slip, and we find now he begins to rely upon himself. If you look back, we won't take the time, but in chapter 19, chapter 20, chapter 21, and chapter 22, you find David running. And each time David picks up one place and he goes to another, never consulting the will of God. Never saying, "God, where would you have me to be? What would you have me to do?" It's not until chapter 23 you find David inquiring of the Lord. This period of time, David spends, I believe, being backslidden somewhat and away from God. His faith being tested now, and we find that he, instead of relying upon God, is relying upon himself. Look at chapter 21 now. Here in chapter 21, keeping in mind this is the same man that slew Goliath, the same man that had that kind of faith, now relying upon himself, being faithless instead of full of faith, we find sin creeping in. And we see here in verse number 1 where that sin leads him and the decisions that it makes him to come by. "Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, Why art thou alone, and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, The king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present." What do we find David, this great man of faith, doing here? Lying to the man of God. Lying to the man of God is never a good idea. But this is where his path had taken him, because he was no longer being led by the Spirit of God, no longer trusting in God for provision and protection. Now he comes to the tabernacle, he comes to the priest, and he lies. He says, "Saul has sent me here. Saul has sent me on a secret mission that no one is to know about. And so don't tell anybody that I was here, but give me some bread that I may eat." David had left off trusting God for his provision. He had trusted God before for this, but now no longer did he trust God. And it led him to the place where he had made the conscience decision to lie to the priest. We see further down in this passage of Scripture, in verse number 6, he gets the bread. And then notice here in verse number 8, "Now David said unto Ahimelech, And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste." The lie continues. Verse 9, "And the priest said, The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod," and David takes it. Remember what we read? Just quickly, turn back to chapter 17. what we read there in verse 47? As David was talking to Goliath and he said he didn't have a sword in his hand, in verse 47, David told Goliath that he came not with a sword, so that all of this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and with spear. Now here he is in the tabernacle. Now here he is before the priest. And he's lying about why he's there, to get some bread. He's telling him, I really need a sword to protect myself because there's just a step between me and death. Hardly looks like the same man, does it? Sin has brought him to this place. The lack of trust, the lack of faith has brought him to this place where he is interested in the sword of Goliath because he thinks he needs protection. And I want you to just stop and think for just a minute, because there have been times in your life when you remember back to slaying those giants just like David. But don't ever think that because you have slain a giant in the past, the next time that those circumstances roll around, you won't turn tail and run. Because if you are operating off of your ability and your prowess to get through it, you're going to end up just like David. When he fought Goliath, he wasn't trusting in himself. He was trusting in God. Now he's trusting in himself. He gains here by deceit. He gains here by lying some bread. He gains here the sword of Goliath and thinking that would offer him some protection. But as I said, lying to the man of God is never a good idea. It never brings about anything that is good. And we won't chase this down, but in verse number 7, there was a certain man there. A certain man, a servant of Saul. He heard everything that had taken place, and it led to the slaying of 85 priests because of the lies that David told. You see, his direction here is not toward God. His direction here is not coming to a place of stronger faith or belief, but instead we see his unbelief and his lacking of faith is taking him down the wrong path, costing others very dearly, even with their lives, costing himself precious, precious time in the will of God by making the wrong choices. He has went down the wrong path. And you and I do the very same thing. Don't ever think that you can play with sin and not get burned. And most of the time when we say that, we think about the big things, and we think about getting burned because it has been found out and others will know it. But when we take sin in and we play with fire, we get burned because it leads us to make some really dumb decisions. Here it has David lying to procure things that he had once trusted in God for. Now he's getting them by deceit. We've all been down that road. We're told in 1 John chapter 1 to walk in the light as he is in the light. And we will have fellowship one with another. We must walk in light and to continue in that path of faith. Not to get sidetracked. The brother just preached and mentioned the world is always going to pull us back. The world is always going to try to get us off that path. To get us trusting in ourselves. To get us to this place where David now is. And I believe that these chapters here from chapter 19 through chapter 22... you find the lowest point in the time of David and his running from Saul. He would spend some more years in the wilderness and more years in exile, if you would. But this was the lowest point. Because we see, again, he was not trusting in God. Now, I want you to see here in the rest of chapter 21, from verse 10 to verse number 15, the dumb decision that all of this brought David to make. And again, I don't want anyone here to think that we're above this. Even if we have been in church all of our lives, even if we have been saved for years and years and years, I want you to know that none of us are above getting to this place where we make some dumb decisions because we have allowed sin to control us. It is a choice, as we have said. Read with me here in verse 10. Notice again, David not praying. It says, "And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath." Here he goes to the king of Gath for protection instead of relying on the king of heaven. He decides that he will go to this place and thinking he might find some safety there. We see here in verse number 11, "And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his ten thousands? And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. David made a dumb decision. He made his situation worse. That's what sin always does. When we are making decisions based upon results like David has seen and on the path David has been, it won't make things any better. When we get ourselves away from God, the next thing that happens is we will make a decision that will take us away from the church. It'll take us away from fellowship with God's people. It'll take us away from relying upon our pastors for counsel. It will take us to places that we don't really want to go, but we will end up anyway. So David here, the one that slayed Goliath, full of faith, full of vigor, full of strength. Now it says in verse 10, he's afraid of Saul. In verse 11, it says, or verse 12, it says he's afraid of the king of Gath. Why was this a dumb decision? We have to first understand that this area of Gath was the land of the Philistines. Philistines, being the archenemies of Israel, had many hundreds of their men slain, if not thousands, by David himself and the forces that he controlled. They had suffered great losses at the hand of David. And yet we see here David going unto the Philistines, the lands of the Philistines. You think they were going to throw him a parade and welcome him into town? I think David maybe thought that he might find some safety, some comfort there from the advances of Saul. Second, we find, and this is where the depth of the ignorance or the stupidity really of this decision sinks home, because look back to chapter 17 again. Not only was this the land of the Philistines, read with me here a second reason why this was a really dumb decision. Here in verse number 4 of 1 Samuel 17, it's talking about Goliath here. It says, "And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath." Where's he from? He's from Gath. He's from this same area. From this very same place. Now, did David go knocking on his family's door? Maybe not. But still, not only did he go to the land of Philistines, the enemy, they killed thousands of, but he goes unto the very place where Goliath was from. The champion of the Philistines. The one that they had all their trust in. The one they had all of their protection by, that he had slain. Thinking that he would find a measure of comfort or safety there. Again, did he really expect to find it? He wasn't in his right mind. Allowing sin, unfaithfulness, and this kind of thing to control him, I think he did expect to find it. But he wasn't thinking right. And then thirdly, remember what he had just gotten. We just read in verse number 8 and 9 of chapter 21, what did David get besides bread at the tabernacle? He got the sword of Goliath. And then he goes and he takes the sword of Goliath under the land of the Philistines to the very place where Goliath is from and expects to find something good. We can all sit here today in hindsight and say, man, that was really dumb. I can't believe he would do something like that. Especially after the faith we had seen in the slaying of Goliath. But if we are to say that, I believe we would be very hypocritical. Because you and I do the very same things. You and I do the very same things. We get afraid. We get away from God. We start making decisions that continually compound the problem, taking us away from God. We go and we get that sword. We go into the land of the Philistines and the land of Gath, thinking we're going to find something good. And we find the same thing that David finds. Read with me here. Verse 13. After he had become afraid of the king of Gath, remember, this is the same David who stood before Goliath and said, "You're going to die. I'm going to cut your head off. And your people are going to die as well." In verse 13 it says, "And he," this is David, "changed his behavior before him and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard." Think about these two snapshots of David. The one running towards the battle, no sword, no shield, just a sling, trusting in God that he would deliver Goliath. This is a few short years later. Think about this snapshot we see in chapter 21 where David is feigning or pretending himself to be insane and letting the drool run down his beard to prove his point. Oh, how the mighty have fallen and sunken into a place where David never wanted to go. He didn't desire to be here. When he left out from the court of Saul after he had an attempt on his life and he began to run, do you think David set out to say, I'm going to find myself sitting before a king, drooling and pretending to be insane, not having control of myself? David never said that. What is the age-old rule or cliche, if you will? We know that if we give sin or we give Satan an inch, he takes a mile. And it's little by little. David let it slip. He let it slide. He got away from God, not being in his right mind, and we find David here in a mess. The wonderful thing about our God is he was still in the hand of God even when he was making a mess of his life. He was still being protected by God, and he delivers him out of this hand, out of the hand of the king of Gath, doesn't allow him to be taken, doesn't allow him to be killed. But do you see the places that sin and disbelief of self-reliance and not trusting in God can take us today? The kind of decisions that it can cause us to make. I hear people all the time say, you know, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, and I prayed for it and it's happened, so it's God's will and I'm going to do it. But if it's against the Word of God, first of all, I should have never prayed for it. But second of all, it's not God that has given it to you. It's because you have made one decision after another that has taken you away from God, and you are impaired. You are, in a sense, drunken with sin. And you can't see that you're wrong. You can't see that you're doing these things and going down that path, but it's not God taking you away from Himself. We know that. Not only does God never move, God never leads His people away from Himself. I mean, that just seems self-explanatory. That seems pretty simple. But yet, oh, how we need to learn that lesson. Oh, how we need to learn that lesson. This brought a reproach upon David. It brought a reproach upon Israel. Brought a reproach upon the Lord for what he had done. This, we find the low point in this portion of David's life. Believe that after this, in chapter 22, we find him coming to the cave of Adullam. I believe we find David finally getting a picture of who he was. Turn with me quickly to Psalm 57. Just a couple of verses here and we'll close. But as he came to the cave of Adullam, having experienced this, the hand of the king of Gath, I believe David began to get a true picture of where he had been and what he was doing. Sometime during all of this, whether it was when he got to the cave of Adullam or sometime after, reflecting on what had taken place, I believe he wrote the 57th Psalm. And you can see in this 57th Psalm the lessons that David learned from his previous experience of not trusting in God. Look here quickly in verses 1 through 3. He learns to trust God's means for deliverance. He says in verse 1, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth." He understood that he had made a mess of things, and that it was God that had came and had saved him from where he was and had shown mercy to him. And so he learned to trust God's means for deliverance, not to provide it for himself, but to continue to trust in God. Look down to verse 5. He learned to trust God's purpose in his situation. He says, "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all of the earth." He repeats it again in verse 11. I think he learned that no matter the situation he was in, he prayed that God would be exalted. That God would be exalted in his situation, no matter what was taking place in his life. And then in verse number 7, he says, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." He learned to fix his heart upon God. And not to take it away. He had been to the place where he had the greatest victory of faith, I believe, that has ever been afforded to one single human being. Then he came to the place where he had to pretend like he was insane because he knew his life was in jeopardy. Two drastic differences, but if we look at our lives, we'll find the same thing. Don't let sin control you. We read in Romans 6, "Let sin not therefore reign in your mortal body." If it does, if it reigns, it'll lead you to do some very dumb and stupid things. Brother.